Hello and welcome to the Total Nerd List podcast, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Tom.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week we are doing Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad? We're doing meth?
No, we are not doing meth.
And oh,
we are
thank God.
We're not doing an episode dedicated to Breaking Bad. We are talking about characters that went bad. We started with heroes that went bad, but that was a little narrow. So we are just doing characters that went bad.
Well, I mean, if they went bad, that implies that they weren't bad to begin with.
Well, I actually have an article on what a fallen hero is, and it seems like they're very strict about what's considered a hero before before going bad. But I mean, just characters who were somewhat good at some point and then became evil, whether it was temporary or not. But that's what we're talking about this week.
Very nice. Yes, I'm excited.
Before we start, what have you been nerding out on this week, Reggie?
To be completely honest with you, I have had a very busy week, so I have not done much of anything. I have not played my Switch in over, 10 days at this point in time. Corey and I have recently started a shameful, shameful secret that we used to do back in college, and I'm embarrassed and ashamed to tell anyone about it.
But Reggie, this is a PG-13 podcast.
We have started watching The Bad Girls Club again.
That's not bad.
It's a trashy, trashy reality television show where they take quote-unquote bad girls and put them all in one house and then give them an unlimited supply of alcohol and expect them to not fight.
This aired on MTV?
No, it was on Oxygen.
Oh, what are they doing there?
Is this the show where that person has the pan and is banging and saying, I'm not going to sleep because of y'all, Tanisha. You're not going to sleep because of me.
Her name is Tanisha.
My wife got so close to doing that to her college roommates one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Corey and I loved watching it in college, and on Hulu they recently added a couple seasons. And one of our favorite seasons, season 7, where they're in New Orleans, is on there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching that right now. Also, this week I did start watching Titans, DC show.
I did too.
We're 2 episodes in. Really like it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than I was expecting to. I knew I was going to like it. But I was also under a completely different impression of what the show was about. I didn't realize that they weren't Teen Titans. So the whole first episode, I'm like, why are the Teen Titans so old? And why is Raven so young? And then it dawned on me when the second episode started, it just said Titans. And I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked it. I missed the Beast Boy thing the first time I watched it. Corey actually was like, and I love Beast Boy showing up at the end of the episode, and I was like, what? I must have turned it off. I thought it was done, so I hit stop because I watched the first episode at my lunch break at work. So I stopped it to go back to the office. But I loved it.
Yeah, and you, I remember you had messaged like, oh man, there isn't Beast Boy, and I was watching it, and I love that we get our intro to Beast Boy with him stealing video games. That's the most Beast Boy thing ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're like, there's no Beast Boy, I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, I missed that somehow the first time. So
yeah,
I love it. I've only watched 1.5 episodes, and I really enjoy it. I'm not the biggest fan of gore.
Same.
And it's definitely a gory show.
Oh my glob. It's like gore light. Oh, a couple people get a Robin thrower in the eye.
Someone got their face scraped against a wall.
First it was the face got scraped against the broken window.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Why did you have to remind me?
Because that dude deserved it and more.
He did.
I'm just not the biggest gore fan, and I think it's just because I don't like seeing things that hurt.
Oh, you guys might have a hard time with Mortal Kombat then.
Well, I was somewhat fine with Mortal Kombat because it's Mortal Kombat.
You knew to expect it. It was unexpected, I will say that. I was not expecting. And when he says F Batman, I literally was like, I gasped. And I looked around like, can you say that? Like
Reggie was over there clutching his pearls.
I did. I was taken aback. But I really like it. I really am excited to see how it goes. I'm excited to see what kind of characters show up.
I'm really excited that Minka Kelly is in it.
Dove. That beautiful, beautiful white
woman. I know y'all haven't seen Friday Night Lights, but she was Lila Garrity in Friday Night Lights. And I love Friday Night Lights and seeing her in something else. And as a blonde, she is a very good blonde.
Yes. At first, I couldn't tell if she was wearing a wig because some of those scenes
looked like a wig. But she looks like a real life, like live action Elsa.
She does.
Like when that was the first thing that popped into my head when I saw her, and that little intimate scene that Raven got a glimpse of between Robin and Dove. I hope we get a flashback of that.
I love Raven. She's a sweet baby angel who needs to be protected.
And I cannot wait for her to get a grip and control on her power, because Raven has always been a very interesting character for the Titans. For
me. Mm-hmm. And that second episode when they're fighting in the kitchen and she tells them to stop.
Stop! And everything blows up, and what's
Dove's counterpart?
Hawk.
And Hawk's just like, well, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah, DC Titans, check it out.
Check it out. It was good. And then really that's it. Corey started watching Clone Wars again, so that way we can get to Bad Batch.
Which he needs to hurry up on.
Well, we haven't watched the last season of Clone Wars yet.
You almost don't need to.
I know, but we want to.
I know. But y'all need to hurry up, because I want to talk to Reggie and Corey about it, and it's... I'll get into it later.
Corey and I are also almost done with The Nanny, sadly. Oh. Although we're really excited to be done with it, because then we can put it on as a bedtime show.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fall asleep to it.
We set a timer on the TV and fall asleep. I know it's not good for you, whatever, but that's what we do.
I mean, if it helps you get to sleep.
It helps me get to sleep.
And it's not too dark,
and I'm not too scared while I'm falling asleep because there's a little light.
I don't turn my TV off at night, and I don't care to admit that. I'm not brainwashed. There's no subliminal messaging.
This Diet Coke is delicious.
I buy great value brand like most people, but there are a few things I've always liked.
You guys ever seen Josie and the Pussycats, the movie with Rachel Lee Cook and Rosario Dawson? Okay, so that's like my third favorite movie of all time. I even have the soundtrack on vinyl. That's what the whole point of that movie is that the government is hiding subliminal message in the rock music to trick the kids into buying stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Or worshiping Satan.
No, that was not in that movie. But anyway, that's my boring week. What about you guys? What have y'all done?
What about you, Shane?
All right. Well, I have started Dragon Ball Heroes, which is in connection to the Dragon Ball Heroes card game, apparently. It takes place after Dragon Ball Super, so it's...
Is this a show? I'm sorry.
It is, yeah, yeah. Okay, it's a show, and it is done on YouTube by the company that makes the card games, and it's done by the same people who did GT, but it follows, like, in the timeline, it goes after Super, Dragon Ball Super. Okay. And so I've started that, and the thing I really like about that is their episodes are 8 to 10 minutes long. And they're very combat-based. Like, a lot of the episodes are just fights.
Oh, yes.
Like, you get, like, maybe 2 minutes of setup in an episode, and then once you know who they're fighting, the next 4 or 5 are those battles.
I remember there was an episode of original Dragon Ball Z during the Cell Saga. Doesn't Vegeta spend, like, 4 episodes powering up?
Yes. I love this. The Cell Saga is my favorite.
Actually?
There's an episode where it's just, like, Vegeta screaming in his, like, power-up pose for, like, 4 straight episodes while people have conversations about it.
That's why they've cut so much of it out, because now, like, when it airs on Toonami, if it replays, they've cut out, like, most of the charging, because it would take so many episodes.
Wow.
Filler, baby.
But in Dragon Ball Heroes, it does it. You know, like, we get through our first arc in 7 episodes, which is the fastest I've ever seen Dragon Ball move. But yes, I started that. I'm enjoying it. They're not producing new Super episodes, even though the manga is continuing, but... You know, that's going to satiate that need for it. Might have to go back and watch GT at some point, because I never really watched that one either.
Wait, have they straight up said they're not going to continue to make Super episodes, or they just haven't done it yet?
They have not done it yet.
Okay, so they weren't like, we're not going to make any more, even though the manga's going on.
Exactly, but we're getting another movie.
Which one?
Like a live action movie?
No. It's essentially a continuation like the last one was of Super.
I like the live action movie.
Did you?
I did.
I'm in the minority.
I know. It wasn't good. I mean, but I enjoyed it because Spike from Buffy was Piccolo, and Rosum something, Emma Rosum, Christine from the Phantom of the Opera movie.
To be honest, I don't know why we haven't gotten a Dragon Ball Z movie yet.
Well, because the first one was so bad, and they haven't been able to figure out how to do it.
It was so bad, but that was, like, at the advent of, like,
CGI.
Of, like, CGI and the MCU. So, like, now all of the things that probably held that movie back could, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be, like, a fan-made movie that's
going to... Let's produce it.
Mm-hmm. I want to play trucks. Future trucks.
What's the little monkey boy with the tail?
Gohan?
Goku? Can I be him? I'm young enough. Tell me I'm young.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I will be Krillin because I have a bald spot.
But no, Dragon Ball Heroes, I'm enjoying it a lot. And like I said, it satiates that need for new Dragon Ball, which we're currently not getting in episodic form. I have also, Handmaid's Tale came back, which I don't think either of you watch.
I can't.
No, I do watch it.
Do you?
I can't watch it. It upsets me too much.
It's one of, okay, so during the pandemic, and I've said it on the podcast before, I have been enjoying mush. I need mush when I'm being entertained. Like, mm-hmm. The real world is already complex and scary enough. So, seeing, like, I haven't been able to watch the last season of Ozarks, and I haven't been able to watch much Handmaid's Tale, because I'm just like, this is too much for me right now. But I love Handmaid's Tale, and even though it's definitely too real to a lot of people right now.
Mm-hmm. It is. It infuriates me more than any other show I've ever watched.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm at the point, no spoilers, but Janine is in danger, and if anything happens to her, God. I'm done with it.
Janine is a sweet baby angel.
Exactly!
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm just stressed out for Janine now.
She's... Janine is everything.
Is that the main lady?
No.
No, she's like a Jason, but she has...
I like Janine so much, I don't care what happens to the main character anymore.
They've kind of used Janine as like a, like... what the society does to people, mm-hmm. character, and it's tragic, but she's also just the sweetest person ever, and if anything happens to her, I quit.
I'm done.
Did you read the book?
I did not.
Okay, I haven't either.
Corey, I did not read the book. But I know that the show was true to the book through season one, but when season one ends, that's where the book ended.
Yeah, so it's been all new stuff, but I mean, I'm a political science major, so I do enjoy the international relations aspect, mm-hmm. of it, seeing how that all plays out.
Oh, and that's huge right now because of events that have happened between Canada and Gilead.
Canada, man.
I know, Canada.
Canada, the heroes of the show.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Handmaid's Tale is back, and I like it until I, you know, find out what happens to Janine, and then next week it might be another Shane Snap thing.
Shane Snap.
And finally, with my Duolingo, I'm at 360 days, 5 more days, and I guess today will be 4, and when this comes out, I will have surpassed a year of working and learning all my French.
That's awesome. I have a whole junk mail file of passive-aggressive emails from too. Duolingo. Me like, too. Hey, we see you don't care about being bilingual at all anymore.
Loser.
Even when you wait, like, I really like Duolingo, so I recommend it to anyone, you know, who's looking for a free version, or I do actually pay for it, so I get a little more features.
So next week's episode will be presented in by Shane in all French.
Yes, lots of food. Lots of food items.
Où est le chat? Where's the cat?
Chat.
Chat.
Yeah, they don't like to announce the ending consonants.
Do you ever see Eddie Izzard's Dress to Kill stand-up? He has a whole bit where he does it in English, and then he does it again. Or he does it in French, and then he does it in English or something like that. And he's like, and if you don't understand the language, you just miss one hell of a joke.
But I think that's mostly been my week. I did actually make it to the second spot on Pokemon Snap, and I've not been able to move on from that, no matter how many pictures I take.
The jungle?
Yeah.
I've not been playing Snap as much as I should, but I will talk about that in a minute.
Oh.
Have you been playing a lot, Reggie?
I haven't been playing anything.
Oh, yeah, you haven't played
Switch? Played in 10 days.
Since the last time we recorded, basically.
I know, yeah, it's been a hot minute.
I played 10 days, and you guys are probably already past me.
I am at the nighttime in the jungle.
Okay, same.
I'm in daytime in the jungle.
And after that comes night, so you're essentially there.
Yeah, so I'm trying to buff up my my levels on. I will. This is Thomas Snaps. I do not like that each level has its own level. I think that it should all go towards like one pot of your level, and so the way it is you gain level per level that that's a lot of levels.
Per stage.
Yeah. You have like a level for, so like you could be level 3 at one stage and level 2 at another stage. And I think that's in what level you are on each stage depends on like what the Pokemon do in front of you. And I just think that's silly. I think it should be like all of your points go towards raising one level bar that applies to all levels. I don't get what they were thinking with that, but that's my Tom Snaps.
I spent way too much time getting my daytime first level to max level, or no, nighttime to max level, because I thought that's where Shaman was going to be, but it's actually in the daytime one when you have max level. And then I was like, well, I'm not doing that right now. I'm going to keep playing. Because, I mean, I literally had to do the nighttime one like 5 to 7 times just to get.
Because of you, though, I got the Hoot Hoot with two legs. I threw that apple at it.
And it went Hoot Hoot.
It did the little drunk stumble. But is that everything you got for your week, Shane?
That is.
Since we love talking over you.
No, you're fine. I love it. It helps.
So, my week, I watched Bad Batch. Episodes 2 and 3 came out since the last time we recorded. I'm really enjoying it so far. the third episode is extremely dark. It might be one of the darkest episodes I've seen of a Star Wars animated show. So, you know,
there's some dark episodes of Clone Wars, too.
There are. And I'd like to hear from other people on how they thought it compared, because it's actually been a while since I've watched Clone Wars all the way through. But, I mean, you know, when you tell people you watch Clone Wars or Rebels, they're like, you watch a kid's show? It's like, it's not a kid's show.
It's not.
It is heavy.
Yeah.
So it was a very, episode 3 is a very heavy episode. I still like the character of Omega, the there's a little clone girl in it. I've been chatting back and forth with a Star Wars memes page. You can find them on Instagram. It's Star Wars Czar. That's Star Wars Czar is how you find them. But they're not a fan of any children besides Grogu in the Star Wars universe. And I somewhat agree, because I feel like children in any Star Wars thing are used as like, they're going to get everyone killed with their, and then they're going to become arrogant, and then they're going to eventually become cool. Like, it's like there is a cookie cutter for how Star Wars treats children in the universe outside of Grogu. Who's an angel and must be protected.
I love him.
But yeah, I like it a lot. I'm not going to go into too many spoilers on that. Been watching a lot of Pokemon, the show, the Indigo League on Netflix.
My first crush.
It's
Misty.
It definitely holds
up. Not actually
up.
My first crush. I think my first crush was probably Kimberly.
Kimberly. Yeah,
but Misty was definitely up there.
It definitely holds up. There are still some, and it's pretty dark as well. There was like a stretch there that I fell asleep to last night where like Ash says goodbye to his Butterfree. Then there's the Kadabra episode, or the
Sabrina one.
Sabrina episodes where Brock and Jesse get turned into dolls and
come play with me.
And there's the extermination of the Tentacool episode, which I had never seen before. Oh yeah,
no,
yeah.
I do love that part.
But yeah, I've been a lot of Pokemon. Like I said, I've had a pretty rough week. My grandmother passed away recently, and I spent a lot of time in the hospital with her. And like I've said, just when I'm. A lot of this stuff that we talk about on the show is just my mush that I need to, as my self-care. So I played a lot of Pokemon. I actually downloaded the expansion pass.
Ooh, yes.
Been playing a lot of Isle of Armor while I was in the hospital. And it's pretty fun. It adds a lot of cool Pokemon that were left out of the original one.
Did you get the new one yet?
Which new one?
The new Pokemon that comes with Isle of Armor?
The legendary one that you get at the end of the, dojo storyline? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that.
Kubfu?
Kubfu. Don't like Claire very much. She was very heavy on the White Lady tears. and not using them for good. White Lady tears are great if you use them for good, but not if you're using them to take credit for things that you didn't do, like she does quite a lot. So, didn't like that character very much, but did enjoy... I was getting sick of Pokemon Sword and was about to start my game over, and so it gave me something else to try out for a while.
Well, now you can put all of your Pokemon in the bank when you're done, because you can only get one of the two evolutions of Kubfu.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you start it over, you can play Isle of Armor again.
That's,
but you
can
start it at the beginning if you wanted to, because that's what I did. As soon as my game started and I was able to get to the station, I went straight to the Isle of Armor.
Okay, so you can do that?
Mm-hmm. And awesome. The Pokemon were like level 5 and 7, and so I had a whole bunch of more access to new things, and I got the Kubfu and did my game with it.
But another thing that that kept me busy in the hospital was Pokemon Rankings. It's Pokemon _ rankings on Instagram. They did a user based polling of the best middle stage evolution. They did a tournament, and the finalists were Gabite, Haunter, and Dragonair.
I love Dragonair. I mean, you guys know.
I was so upset because I was shipping Haunter and Dragonair the whole time. Gabite won.
Ugh, of course it did.
Because it's got missiles on its head or something.
I refuse to accept this.
But Haunter got second and Dragonair got third.
What?
But I liked it a lot.
I liked Haunter a lot. When I first started playing Pokemon,
I love Haunter. And I actually just watched since I was watching the Sabrina episodes, I just saw the ones with him in it.
Where Ash goes to the haunted house
and when
to go save his friends.
And Haunter tries to murder Jesse and James by making Jesse laugh and shoots a gun with his tongue. but I didn't know Gengar was in that episode. I didn't know all three of them. I thought it was literally just Ghastly and Haunter. But. Yeah, lots of Pokemon this week. I've been on a big Pokemon kick. And if you and I forgot to talk about it at the top of the episode, but if you follow us on Instagram, which we need more followers, I've been on quite a Pokemon kick on there. I need to post some other things.
And we will.
And we will. We've got some Animal Crossing photo shoots we need to share.
I need to see that.
I'm going to start bringing some more Animal Crossing content on there because obviously Shane loves Animal Crossing a lot. We all like Animal Crossing. I'm one of those people who can't focus on multiple games at once. So when I started playing Pokemon a lot, Animal Crossing kind of went out the window. But I love Animal Crossing. Check out our Instagram because we've actually got the codes for our Total Nerdlist shirts on there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we will be getting some Total Nerdlist stickers soon.
Physical real stickers?
Physical real stickers, not just digital stickers.
Yes.
For you to put on your water bottles and tell everybody how amazing we are.
Total Nerdlist.
But Animal Crossing is not why we are here this week. We are here to talk about characters that broke bad. And before we started on that, I wanted to go through the... there's a whole page on the Villains Wiki about fallen heroes. And it just had some different archetypes of what... different fallen heroes. So one of them is Zero to Nightmare. That's basically a hero who is underappreciated, abused by other people who dislike them. They were really good at one point, and then basically their abuse drove them to do evil.
Okay.
So that's one of them. And then there's a subcategory of that, which is victim to villain. And while I read these, I want y'all to think about where Harvey Dent falls in all of this. Because I thought he would be victim to villain, which is, obviously someone who's a victim of a crime. And then, that drove them to snap, basically. And at least in the Christian Bale Batman movies, I think he was at least a victim of a crime in the sense that, was it Rachel? Was killed, and then she That's kind of what pushed Harvey Dent over the edge. But he also kind of fits in another area. Not good with rejection is another archetype.
Stalker.
Yeah. toxic male, I guess, is another way to put it. But they were rejected and unable to cope with their rejection, so they turned into the dark side. The example they gave, do you all know Bill or Maker?
From?
I'm not sure. It just has...
Yes, Bill.
Bill or Maker. I don't know any of the ones that they reference on there. Another one is being an extremist, kind of like Saul Guerrera in Star Wars, well-intentioned goals for the greater good, but their methods and ultimate ends prove to be very extreme to the point that they become someone that's greatly despised. And I'd say Saul Guerrera from Star Wars definitely fits that, because he obviously had good intentions in fighting the Empire, but a lot of the Rebel Alliance kind of saw him as an extremist who would do anything and, you know, definitely dipped his toe in the waters of villainy. From sugar to excrement is another archetype. Characters that were once revered but turned evil by greed, lust, or because they were tired of being good, which brings shock and despair to those who knew them. So I guess just like people who were really, really, really good and then they broke bad and it really upset everyone around them. A subcategory of that is defender of life to being power hungry. So someone who was a big defender of life and then eventually just became way too power hungry and obsessed with their powers. Another fallen hero, possessed or brainwashed. Obviously, that's an easy one. characters that were good and then became evil through being brainwashed. And then the last category is desperation. They followed the rules and always did the right thing. And then just, I guess they got tired of not doing well with things, and so they went
good enough.
They went bad. One example they use that is Henry J. Waternoose from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely driven bad out of desperation.
The spider dude who ran the company, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good example of how, like, he was driven to villainy because of narrow thinking, in the sense that, like, it's like, only screams will power the world, even though that we found out that laughter will power the world in the end. But those are just some archetypes for characters that went bad.
Okay.
I
think my people fall in somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was with Harvey Dent. I was thinking he either falls into desperation or from victim to villain.
I think he's more victim to villain.
I think so too.
The acid in his face, or whichever version of Harvey Dent you're talking about, the attack on his face is what causes mine to snap, which is what caused him to go bad.
So did he lose someone? Because
Harvey Dent is not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Two faces. Harvey Dent was the DA.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, in the original story, he had like acid thrown on his face in the court.
Okay. Yeah. See, in the Christopher Nolan, Christian Bale Batmans, it was because he
was face down in the fire or something, right?
No, I think it was because of an explosion. I forgot how he had his face disfigured, but the whole thing that drove him bad was losing their shared love interest.
Rachel. Not Katie Holmes.
Not
Maggie
Katie Holmes.
Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Same character, different actresses. Confused the heck out of me.
But yeah.
Super confused.
Well, in the animated version, if I remember correctly, and I can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Poison Ivy have something to do with it? Because Bruce is trying to save him from... Because he goes on a date with her without realizing who she is.
In the animated one, he gets acid thrown in his face.
Yes. But I thought there was a whole Poison Ivy arc with him as well.
I don't remember that, and I'm normally pretty good about the Poison Ivy episodes, because the Poison Ivy episodes are...
And maybe it's just one where, like, she went to date him, but then it turned into Poison Ivy versus Batman. Because we get a few before he becomes Two-Face.
We're going to have to look that up, because I normally am good about the Poison Ivy stuff, and I don't remember that. It's also on HBO now.
Yes.
We'll have to check it out. But starting with my list, number five, Walter White. Obviously, since we're talking about Breaking Bad, I have to talk about the character from Breaking Bad. I covered him on the worst characters. Not that he's a terrible character, just that he's a terrible person. He's a great character, and that's why he's on my list. You know, he obviously, there's a lot of evidence that he was always kind of a bad person. Definitely an egomaniac, but obviously his cancer diagnosis pushes him to becoming a drug kingpin, regardless of the fallout from it. And, you know, he's obsessed with the legacy he's going to leave behind, but doesn't worry about the fact that he might be leaving his family with, you know, the baggage of his legacy. So a terrible guy in that sense, but, you know, started out as timid, and becomes the worst drug kingpin ever. Next on my list, Tara from the Teen Titans cartoon.
Oh, Tara story.
I was so upset by that storyline originally. Because the whole thing is basically she cannot control her powers, and as is the case with a lot of times, she is taken advantage of by someone who promises to give her control over her powers. She starts working for Slade, which I hate Slade so much.
Slade.
There's never been a villain that...
Just wait till season two.
I do not like Slade. He basically misleads her, and it eventually, spoiler, leads to her death, since we
or
never...
Or did it,
but we never got additional seasons of the show.
It's coming.
Is it?
Yeah, I thought it was coming. And it's supposed to pick right up, like, with Beast Boy opening the door to run after... Because you guys saw the end of Teen Titans,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's the last episode where he sees, like, the girl that's not Tara,
but is totally Tara.
Yeah. Yes.
But that was just a really upsetting story arc from my childhood. I felt so bad for Beast Boy because he
loved her, Mama.
He loved her, and he wanted to save her and help her out. And she was just completely misled by a terrible, terrible man.
Slade Wilson. A.K.A. Do you know who he is?
I don't know.
Isn't he Deathstroke? Isn't that his name?
Deathstroke?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is his last name really Wilson?
Yeah, his name is Slade Wilson, and his bad guy character is Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting.
And then, doesn't he have a daughter?
He does, Rose Wilson.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the middle of rewatching Teen Titans. It's one of those that I just kind of put on whenever I can.
Teen Titans Go, I know, gets a bum rap. I know it does.
It's really funny, though.
But it's actually really funny, and there are some episodes that are like, The Night Begins to Shine saga. I still listen to that song on repeat. But you should at least just give it a try and try to get past like the beginning stuff, especially because they will make some crazy funny episodes.
The Terrace episodes I really like, especially when she's dating Aqualad and Raven and Beast Boy get jealous, so they decide to date. And when they're sitting there at that restaurant just complimenting each other, it's my favorite scene, I think, ever.
Quick, Aqualad, we need shrimp! Lots and lots of shrimp!
I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good episodes, and I'm right there with you. It's like, it shouldn't have been what took the best one off the air, but...
It didn't. It came years and years and years and years later.
Yeah, it didn't.
Kind of.
No, it did. Teen Titans, I hate to say this, but Teen Titans ended when we were like still in high school, guys. Or maybe early college.
It's been a hot minute since Teen Titans.
They were going to bring it back, and then it was like, Teen Titans Go, and then the rest of us were like, oh.
I feel like we need to have an episode dedicated just to Titans.
Yes.
Oh, that was a pretty big part of my, like, middle school to high school years, so I would definitely do a Teen Titans episode, especially once we get further into Titans, the show.
Yeah.
Next on my list is Wanda from WandaVision. She was... I won't say she was straight up evil, but no. I mean, obviously she was kind of holding a town hostage with her grief.
A little bit.
just a little bit. And I mean, I really felt for that character going through grief on my own recently and just over the past year. And just thinking about if I lost someone as close to me as Vision was to her, you don't know where grief will drive you, and it often drives people in a way that they can't control. So I really felt for Wanda and just her struggle in that show, and you know, just the fact that she never would want to hurt anyone and probably didn't realize that she was hurting people. But yeah, that's why Wanda's on my list, because she hit me in my fifis with that one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Next on my list is Vegeta, Majin Vegeta. Because basically he, so Vegeta starts out as an evil character and then becomes, I guess you would call him an anti-hero for most of the show. And then Babidi in the Buu saga, this is Dragon Ball Z, by the way, Babidi in the Buu saga, Babidi might be one of the worst characters ever. I hate him so much. I'm surprised I didn't put him on my worst list. But basically he has the power to like exploit any tiny darkness in someone's soul. And he does that with Vegeta and basically brings out the darkness in Vegeta, and it causes Vegeta to kill a bunch of people and then, fight with Goku in a way that causes the energy to be released needed to unleash Majin Buu. But he ends up sacrificing himself in the end of that arc to try and, you know, make up for his bad actions. And I feel for Vegeta in that part, because it's just like, you know, everyone has darkness in their heart.
And, yeah, I was going to say, you could really exploit anyone.
And his was exploited, and everyone was like, oh, he's evil again. And it's like, no, he's not evil. He just still has darkness in his heart. So that's why I had him on my list. That was a sad, sad little arc for Vegeta. And then finally, anyone who knows me probably saw this coming, but Anakin and Darth Vader. I didn't very much like movie Anakin very much.
No one does.
Bad writing there, but Clone Wars Anakin.
Maybe someone does.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Clone Wars Anakin was pretty sweet.
Yes.
And they definitely added a lot of complexity to that character. But, you know, one thing that's ignored with Darth Vader in his fall is, like, all of, like, the niceness Palpatine showed him to cause him to come over to the dark side was just a front. Once there's a great comic series that shows like what happens directly after episode 3. And Palpatine becomes a real jerk after that. It shows that like at the end of the day, Anakin was emotionally abused. And obviously that doesn't excuse murdering a bunch of children or an entire religious sect. But if you read the comics, there's a lot more complexity to who Darth Vader is. And it's a lot of Vader's evilness is driven by just Emperor Palpatine being an unforgiving, awful, awful villain.
I always thought that what drove Vader was Palpatine's lie that he could bring Padme back.
There's that, and also just like it's not like he's like the sweet mentor to Anakin, but when he finally falls to the dark side, it's just emotional manipulation at that point, like to the max. So it's an abusive relationship, and like I said, that doesn't forgive any bad deeds, but it definitely adds some complexity to Darth Vader. And if you read any of the like recent Darth Vader comics from Marvel, I highly suggest it. They're great. The art is great. The character development is great. I love it all. And then my honorable mention is Willem Dafoe from the first Spider-Man.
Harry movie. Oswald, right?
Harry Osborn.
Mm-hmm. Osborn.
Oswald. Yes, Osborn. Oswald.
You know, obviously, And that's really just because I like Willem Dafoe. And that was just also one of my favorite. I love the original Spider-Mans. I don't care what anyone says.
I love the original ones, too. I love the
Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans. I didn't like the third one, obviously, but 1 and 2 was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know, I really hope that all of this rumor about the multiverse and Spider-Man ends up being true. Like, I saw something the other day that said that the plot is going to be about Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
I hope it's true, too. And I do like the original three movies, but Tobey Maguire is not my favorite Spider-Man.
Well, and Tobey Maguire is just kind of a problematic person in general. Have you all heard of the movie Molly's Game?
Mm-mm. Nobody mumbles way through that one, too.
Oh, wow.
He was not in Molly's Game. He was apparently there was that like big scandal with him in like the high stakes card games. And apparently Tobey Maguire was just not a nice person through all of that. You should look it up.
I don't know any of that.
Like him as a real life person?
Yeah, like him as a real life person. I've heard some things about that.
Those mumblers, you got to watch out for them. That's why they get under my skin.
And all of this is on the internet, so don't sue us.
Don't sue him. That was a good list. I didn't even think about Wanda.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to think of her as a villain. And I mean, at the end of the day, she wasn't a conscious villain. But she obviously, she was holding Kitty from that 70s show hostage.
Mm-hmm. She was. Just let me die.
Well, Shane, you were going to share some passages from your novel, correct?
Yes, I promised it last week that I used some certain words and whatnot in my novel that I completed back in April, and I will share those results now.
What were the words?
The first one was troglodyte. How do you say it?
Troglodyte.
Troglodyte. Yes. Okay. And it. Actually, both words coincidentally ended up coming towards the end of the story, not because I had an oh crap, I forgot moment, but like there was just no way to fit them in, and then once I figured out how, I'm like, it's just going to have to come later because one of the characters we don't meet until the third chapter out of five comes into the book. So, to set it up real quickly, there's this character named Nicholas who I kind of wrote that most people don't like anyway, and he meets this mysterious woman in a old abandoned church in the woods, and Nicholas's girlfriend is the character, one of the main characters of the story, and she has left him and he wants her back, but he has discovered something about her that I won't spoil here because it's a big part of the books. But he turns to this lady for help, and when he meets her, like, she tells him she can help him, but he has to go back to his room and get prepared. And that's where this line kind of comes in. The lady's name is Mirage, which is not a coincidence. Mirage has a secret. It won't be revealed here either, but here we go. A knock on Nicholas's door breaks his study from his laptop. As he stands to open the door, the laptop has an article about possessions pulled up on the screen. Nicholas opens the door without checking the peephole to reveal Mirage. Mirage, he questions her, how are you here? What are you doing here? Oh, come now, she lets herself into the room. You don't think everyone in Willow Hollow is a troglodyte, do you?
I gave that word.
Those trogs.
Those troglodytes. Which it's like a bottom feeder or something. I just, the sassy girl in Jurassic Park 2, Lost World, Malcolm's kid, she calls her babysitter a troglodyte. And I had just watched that movie and then Shane asked for the word.
Isn't trog what Captain Gantu calls Stitch? The trog?
Oh, I don't remember.
I swear, I think that's what he calls, that's where I heard troglodyte the first time.
All right, so the second word also deals with Nicholas and Mirage, and at this point, Nicholas has kidnapped his ex-girlfriend to have a very unorthodox possession. And I promise the book is not about religion or anything like that, but there is an issue with his girlfriend, Deidre. He thinks that an exorcism will help the issue. The readers will know he's wrong.
What's this word?
This word is lugubrious.
Lugubrious. I know what that word means.
Good, because I just use it in the term of what it means, and I don't know if people would get it. But
lugubrious, meaning extremely sad and droopy.
Yes.
A subject I am all too familiar with.
So Nicholas and Mirage come up with this plan to essentially kidnap Deidre against her will, which he does because he's Nicholas and they don't really like him. Yes. And he has taken her to this old wooden, like, it's more of a building than a church, but for the purposes of the book, it's called a church, where Mirage hides out, as I like to say. And I'm finding it on the page where it's highlighted. And so he takes her there, and all of Mirage's little minions, because she has minions, are strapping her down to the stone table. So we're going to pick up where...
Stone table. Straps.
Sounds like my Saturday night.
So the woman minion straps Deirdre down as the two men hold her top half down. She shouts for help and, like, begs for Nicholas to let her go. Mirage approaches Nicholas. "Don't look so lugubrious," Mirage tells him. "That isn't really her fighting us back." "I know," someone Nicholas looks on as Deirdre cries out for help and is helpless to fight back as she is strapped down to the black slab of the stone table.
Lugubrious. I love it. Yay!
Yes, and then there's one other thing to share that I did with this novel, and it's honestly going to become, like, probably a pattern in my slim verse. But there's a character named Reggie, who is only ever mentioned and never really seen.
Yes.
And right now, so I just did, like, the search for it, and Reggie is mentioned 4 times. I can tell you there will be a 5th one. I was thinking about, like, editing, and I was like, there's something that would be appropriate for. So the first one comes when this character named Weston is talking to Emmy. And Emmy, we kind of met last time I did this with the words, when I had to use sultry, because she was a little sultry at the party.
Mm.
And I told everyone that something has happened to Emmy. And once these books ever get published, because they will, this book is where I reveal what exactly has happened to her and why she's had this attitude change. And I think at this point, if I remember correctly, Weston and Emmy are looking for a beast in the swamp called the Willow Swamp Beast. The series is called Willow Swamp. It is part of my Willow Hollow series. It's the sister story. And as they're searching it, the identity of the beast we know at this point, and Weston knows the identity of the beast, and so he knows they're not going to find it. And he's just kind of doing this to kill time to help it keep her away from the actual person that's the beast. And I think I could just start where I mention him. Mm-mm. And so he asks her, "Nah," Weston shoots down an idea of wanting to keep looking for longer. "It ain't out tonight, I can tell you. You should get some rest. I'm sure you have to go back to the Weeping Willow," which is a restaurant in the local town, "before you know it." "Britain has Reggie running the place. It's fine," Emmy informs him. "You know I'm good to stay up all night." She flashes a grin at him, but Weston doesn't fall for it on this night.
So is it me? Am I Reggie?
Yes, you're Reggie.
Yeah! Mysteriously, a mysterious stranger. Always mentioned, never seen.
So the second time it's mentioned is kind of funny because I think, yes, Caden is speaking to Nicholas, who most of them don't really like. And what he's doing is that they're going to try to lure out the bad guy in the place where Caden is staying. And so they try to throw a mock party. And so he invites some of his Willow Hollow friends because he knows they can take care of themselves. But then, like, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, why would he invite Nicholas? And I'm like, oh, I guess they don't like Nicholas. He doesn't care if the bad guy comes out and, like, does something to him. So Caden is inviting Nicholas to his little mock party they have. And I'm trying to find a good place to start. And last time they had a party, Caden and his love interest were tossed out the window by the main villain, and it almost killed them. So, we're going to pick up. This one might be a little
longer. Sounds saucy.
We're going to have to read them.
Okay, so Nicholas is asking him, "You both want me to come?" He asks skeptically. He knew he had not made the greatest impression on everyone, and most probably see him as Deirdre's ex who can't let go. "Yeah," Caden nods. "It's going to be, well, it's a party." He sighs. "Listen, we're going to throw a small event and hope that it lures Viper out." Viper's the villain. And Nicholas, being the ever smart aleck that he is, he says, "Just like the last time when he tossed you two out the window." He knew who Viper was. He was another serpent, yet another evil being that loomed in Willow Hollow, plotting and waiting for his time to come out and slaughter everyone to take over the godforsaken sleepy town. "Here," Caden hands him a small card. "That has all the information. Reggie will run things so it looks legit. So there will be treats and alcohol."
Treats and alcohol! Yeah, that's me.
Reggie's favorite.
Treats and alcohol? Treats and alcohol. It makes me sound bad.
And Corey.
The next time Reggie is mentioned is the actual party itself. The nook had been decorated for the party and extra seating. Brenton works on setting up a table of drinks with Casper, and it appears that a few people have arrived. Tessa, the bakery owner, calls back into the kitchen for Reggie to bring in more baked goods. And then finally, the next time that he is mentioned is near the end of the story. where I've got to remember. I think they're still, it's in the party again. So they're having the party. A faster song begins to play. Emmy, who's acting out of character, lets out a yell, a loud little woo, and pulls Nicholas onto the on the dance floor. Back stands, leans against the sidewall, none too pleased to see Emmy's latest dance partner, having released Reggie back to his work and now moving on to Nicholas. So Reggie was dancing with Emmy against his will.
Yeah! I love it.
And that's all the excerpts from my novel.
Is Reggie going to be mentioned in future novels, you say?
Yes. Yes. And I think, and honestly, like, I think with this series particularly, it'd be very easy. I'm like, I should go back and, like, add in some other Reggie mentions.
And Toms. We need some Thomases in there.
I want to be a villain.
A villain.
Ooh, you don't want to be a villain in this one.
Not in this one. Is your book magic based?
Kind of. It's urban fantasy, so there is magic and supernatural, but it's set like in the contemporary world.
Okay. Is it kind of a romance novel too?
The romance is part of it, but I don't think it's like the key of it.
Got juicy love making scenes?
No.
Well, I guess I won't be reading it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why Reggie's not a main character.
Yet. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Shane, for including me in your book.
It was really fun. I liked plotting this out. And honestly, it makes sense because when you have the main characters, like one of the main characters is supposed to be like the big owner of a lot of the places in town, and yet he's never there running it.
I run it.
Yes, so you can run all of Willow Hollow because that's the name of the town.
Is it based on Stars Hollow?
What is that?
From Gilmore Girls.
Oh, God, no. I don't like that show.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I tried.
Just twist the knife in my heart. No, it's okay. I watched it when I was younger. But
I've seen quite a lot of Gilmore Girls in
there's
the last
so
few years.
There's so much talking.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of talking.
They're so snappy and cosmopolitan.
But we will move on to my actual list and get us back on track. My first choice when I think of like good guys going bad is Loxus from Fairy Tail. He used his Thunder Guild, is what they were called. They were essentially like three other magic practitioners that follow him, to create the Battle of Fairy Tail, which would either allow him to take over or prevent him from taking over. And they used their magical powers to lock down the town of Fiori, and pretty much one of them froze all the women first, and the women eventually unfreeze and become part of the battle too. But then when the men are going in town to try to find these members to beat them, if they stepped on a trap, then whoever they were with, if it was like two of them, three or four, they'd have to fight, and the trap would not release them until one of the winners knocked out the other competitors. Because in Fairy Tail, no one really dies.
Wow.
Yes.
That's shady.
And he's part of Fairy Tail too. He tried to take it over after his grandfather fell ill. Spoiler, he doesn't, but Fairy Tail's over now, so I can say that.
Yeah, if you didn't want to spoil, you should have watched it.
Yes, but no, when Loxus is a bad guy, I was ready for them to kick his butt.
Loxus.
Yes.
Like, is he like a potato pancake themed bad guy?
No, he's the thunder practitioner. He controls the thunder. It's awesome. He becomes a really awesome good guy again afterwards, but moving right along, this one I've mentioned before. I think he was on my worst people's list because he is the worst for what he did. Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Grant.
After Winter Soldier in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, after Winter Soldier, it breaks up S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we learn this whole time that Grant Ward was working with Hydra, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s mortal enemy.
Ew.
Hell Hydra.
Ew. I'm shaking my fist.
And he also made this list because when he went bad, he took my beloved Fitzsimmons, locked them in an airtight box, and dropped it in the middle of the ocean. And only one of them could get out, but they both do because Simmons saves Fitz and he falls into a coma because he had some brain damage for like 6 months, and that just opens up a whole bunch of other stories.
It's Fitzsimmons.
And we know how Shane feels
we
about Fitz.
We know yes. how Shane feels
about But Fitz. I hated Grant Ward ever since, and I was like, someone kill him, I'm done.
Poop on you, Grant.
Next on my list is the Dark Phoenix.
I knew. So I was talking to another friend, and they asked me if Dark Phoenix was going to be on my list. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure my friend Shane is going to have it on his list, and I'm trying to make sure I don't, like, repeat.
RIPG.
You know me well. But yes, Dark Phoenix, you know? And I'm thinking specifically of the animated series. I'm sure she did a lot of more terrible things in the comic books that I haven't read. But she did destroy a whole world on the X-Men, which leads to the battle with Lilandra and her people over Jean Grey. And then eventually Jean Grey sacrifices herself. And then in a weird way, like the Power Rangers bought back Zordon, they bought back Jean Grey.
Because they believe.
They did. They all touched they hands believe. And
believed. Touch their tips.
Yes.
Gingerly.
Okay, next on my list might be a surprise to you guys, because I don't think either of you have watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but my beloved Fitz went bad.
Fitz went bad?
It was not entirely his... Actually, it really wasn't his fault at all. There was this AI robot that was created. They named her Ada, who was played by Mallory something. She was the main lead in... Oh, God, what was that show called on ABC? It was like the musical show. It was like Enchanted or something. Not Enchanted. I don't think it was what it was called. It might have been.
Gallivant?
Gallivant, yes.
Wait, yeah. was she the bad guy in Gallivant?
Yeah. Well, no, she's not the bad guy in Gallivant. She's the bad guy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
She played the princess in Gallivant, like the main one.
Yes! I know. I listen to the Gallivant soundtrack regularly.
Yes. So on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she is this artificial like AI person, like the first one they ever created. And at first, she saves Fitz and Simmons from being shot, but then she falls in love with Fitz. And she puts everyone in this AI world that they call the framework. And in her AI world, she tried to, like, say Gemma was dead, so she had her buried. And she made Fitz the evil doctor. And together, they ran Hydra. Because she actually became Madam Hydra.
Madam Hydra?
What?
Yes.
What?
And
when who is this Fitz guy? He seems to be driving everybody crazy.
No, he's the best. Hmm. He's a genius, and he's the other half of Fitzsimmons.
Was he made up for the show, or was he in any of the movies?
He was made up for the show, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think only Coulson came from the movies, and of course Sky, who later becomes...
Is that the blonde chick? Who's the blonde lady that's in the movies, and then she was just in the Winter Soldier show?
Oh, yeah, she's not part... I mean, she hasn't been on S.H.I.E.L.D.
She hasn't? I thought she was, like, the main person in S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, Coulson's the main person in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, I know nothing then.
But in my world, Fitzsimmons is the main person. Main people in S.H.I.E.L.D. But anyway, but Fitz actually kills some people in the framework when he is brainwashed as the doctor, and it becomes a big thing that he can't really live with, and then when they get out of the framework, she's still trying to break up Fitz and Simmons. Like, she throws a temper tantrum when he tells her that he loves Simmons. But then, you know, spoiler, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is over, but maybe hopefully coming back in the future, they have to use Ghost Rider to beat her.
Nicolas Cage?
No.
Like, actually Ghost Rider, though?
Yes.
I didn't know Ghost Rider was in the show.
He is. He comes, like, in the sixth season. It's so good. He's, like, the first half of that season, then the second half is the framework in Madam Hydra.
Hmm.
But, yeah, and it's the Robbie Reyes version, that character. Nope. Anyway, Coulson makes a deal with Ghost Rider to defeat the evil AI Ada, and it was so satisfying.
Oh, well, that's cool.
But yeah, she turned Fitz bad, and it made some problems with Fitzsimmons for a while.
Aww.
They were not the same afterwards, because she watched him kill an innocent person, and he didn't know he was doing it.
Well, that's a way to go bad right there. Mm-hmm. Not knowing how you're doing it.
And finally, number one on my list was a character, you know, that's fairly new to the DC universe, the Batman that laughs. I really like that villain, but his backstory is he's from the Dark Multiverse, where the Joker paralyzed Bruce Wayne, made him watch this killing spree that he went on, and then Batman eventually ends up killing the Joker, but becomes infected with the Joker's laughing gas, and goes on a killing spree of his own, thus becoming the Batman that laughs and just becomes evil and takes over the dark multiverse and tries to invade the prime multiverse, I guess.
The comic storyline was like the Batman Metal or something like that.
Dark Metal Knights.
Dark Metal Knights, that's what it was.
That was, I just got right back into comics when that series came out, so I got to read it from beginning to end, and it was awesome.
Nice.
My honorable mention this week is Light Yagami, who I rooted for him in the beginning, but even I, as big as a fan of I am, is what he was doing, cannot deny that the Death Note corrupted him.
That's Death Note, dude?
Yes.
The guy who's writing
the main character.
Okay.
Yep, he's the one that finds a note, starts off kind of doing good, depending on how you feel about it. But yeah, no, I always rooted for Light when it was Light and L, and then after L goes away, I won't spoil that, listeners, but when L goes away and the next adversaries to Light come along, light gets corrupted.
Oh. I have actually never seen Death Note. I watched part of the movie and it wasn't very good, so we stopped it.
Oh, see, the movie's not good at all. The anime's where it's at.
Yeah, I need to watch it. It's not very long. There's just such a long list of things that we need to watch that it's not prioritized right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty awesome chore list, though. Your things to watch list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's my list.
That's a very good list.
Well, Reginald...
I didn't make a list this week.
Okay. You never make your list.
I never make
your
list.
Well, if you don't turn in your work in college, they just give you a zero. Yeah, that's they don't want to make that work in college.
You're not going to carry around a calculator in your pocket. Okay, so starting out my list, I put Turbo / King Candy.
Yes.
From the Wreck-It Ralph movie.
That's an interesting one.
So Turbo was the main character of his video game, the hero, if you will. Mm-hmm. And once his game was being unplugged, that's when he, out of desperation, went Turbo, left his game, and then, of course, became King Candy and took over Sugar Rush.
And mm-hmm. got multiple games unplugged in mm-hmm. the process.
Yeah, and always made sure that his game was safe.
Of course.
So... I don't know. It was just one that came to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess Turbo was a bad guy, and I thought that was pretty cool. Next on my list is Audrey from the Descendants franchise.
Yes.
Audrey is the daughter of Aurora and Prince Philip.
Aurora.
And she was not very kind to the other characters. She was kind of a B word and stuck up, but she wasn't a bad guy. And then after the events of the first two movies happen and, you know, she gets corrupted and she becomes her anger, you know, leads her to stealing Maleficent's staff and she becomes the quote unquote queen of mean, which is a song I really love listening to. I also like the actress she played, the youngest sister in the Charmed remake.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which...
Vaguely familiar with that because I watch CW, but...
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, the Queen of Mean had to be put on my list because I really do love that song a lot more than I probably should. And I like Descendants 3 a lot, too. But anyway, next on my list is Saruman from the Lord of the Rings movies. Or the... Really, he's a good guy in the Hobbit storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, out of fear, gets corrupted and, you know, is a bad guy. Has that awesome fight with Gandalf in that tower in the Lord of the Rings when he finds out he's been betrayed. And
Watch Lord of the Rings.
You haven't watched? Oh my gosh. What?
Fear will push you to do interesting things, like mm-hmm. fill up a bunch of grocery bags with gas at the gas station.
That's so stupid. Oh my god. Okay, literally... We cannot drive Corey's car right now because we cannot find premium gas in town, and Corey's car can only have premium.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It'll, like, mess up his engine or whatever. So thanks, people out there, for filling up bags and, you know, unnecessarily because you caused us to not have
Yes.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. The next one on my list is Faith from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Faith mm-hmm. was a slayer, so Buffy dies. She drowns.
Yes.
She's technically dead for a minute or so. And how it works is as soon as the Slayer dies, another one is called. Well, Buffy was also revived. So there's technically two Slayers running around now.
Faith wasn't... Oh, then just tell the other one to go back? Yes, like, it's not Faith your turn yet. You gotta wait.
Yeah, just return. Faith wasn't the one who preceded Buffy. Kendra was. And then after Kendra died, Faith was called. Mm. Faith was... forced to watch her watcher be tortured and killed in front of her.
Well,
so she
good.
Was very, like, you know, mentally not stable. And she was also kind of, I think, raised in, like, to be kind of street smart.
Street smarts!
She's Eliza Dushku character,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Dushku, I'm sure.
Dushku, or however yeah. you say it. And so she ends up getting manipulated and brainwashed by the big bad, who is mm-hmm. the mayor in the fourth season, and ends up becoming a bad guy and kills an innocent person. And from there, she just doesn't think that she has, you know, there's no coming back from that. So mm-hmm. she just becomes a villain and, like, literally Aww. Is, you know, has fights with Buffy and the Scooby Gang. And really, really good storylines for Buffy. Like, I really love
it. So that was not the end of her character, right?
No, Faith ends up getting caught and gets sent to prison, or Slayer prison, and agrees to go to make up for what she does. But she ends up having to come back several times in both Angel and in the Buffy show. Eventually, Buffy, the show ends with them awakening all of the potential Slayers. So there's hundreds and hundreds of Slayers around the world.
And we're one of them, right?
I am. Thank you. And Faith ends up having to come over to the Angel show and help with some Slayer stuff eventually. But last on my list, my favorite instance of a good guy gone bad is also from Buffy. It's Willow Rosenberg.
Oh, Willow.
You've heard me mention before when Tara, Willow's girlfriend, is shot and killed. That causes Willow to snap, and her grief and anger causes her to basically go into a magic shop and absorb every single piece of literature of magic that there is.
Oh, so she went Wanda.
And sucked it all up, and then became completely obsessed with getting revenge for the death of Tara, to the point where Buffy could not stop her. What ended up being able to stop her was her deep friendship and connection with Xander.
Aww.
Xander finally saved the day. But she kills some people real good. Bored now. Skins somebody alive.
Ugh.
No. But because of her grief is what caused her to turn bad. And that, as soon as we decided that we wanted to do this episode, I knew that that was going to be my number one. Because that's, I mean, you feel so bad for her, but she's also bad. Mm-hmm. So you can't. And I guess you can root for her, but, you know.
You can root for some characters going bad when you know they're not really bad.
Poor child.
And they also weren't, like, trying to. It was just unfortunate because anybody who got in their path also, you know. You can't be like that. Like, you can be obsessed with killing the people who killed your girl, but you can't be killing innocents.
Oh, yeah.
But that's my list. My honorable mention, and I did not put this person on my list because I was torn if it was actually a good person gone bad, but I put Tafiti / Taka from the Moana movie.
Okay.
Tafiti is basically like Gaia, Mother Earth. She's the person who raises the stuff out of the ocean, and when Maui steals her heart, she goes away. And then this lava monster named Taka shows up and is protecting the island where Tafiti is supposed to be. Well, of course, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Moana, turns out that Taka is Tafiti, just with her heart taken out. And so once she gets her heart put back in, she, you know, becomes Tafiti again. And I wasn't sure if it was actually a good guy gone bad or not, or but after Tom's little list at the beginning, I agree. I think, yes, it fits it.
Yes, I think so too.
So that's my list and my honorable mention.
Yay!
Yay!
Actually, I have to ask, I was a little surprised, no Kimberly on your list.
She doesn't go bad, but for one episode, and it's from a spell.
Well, and from a movie.
Well, what about the Ranger?
Oh, my gosh, and the Turbo. Ranger Slayer.
Yeah.
We didn't do the Ranger Slayer either.
But she's not. She's not bad because she's a bad person. She's literally brainwashed and under.
That was on the list,
I know,
though.
But I didn't think that counted at the time.
I would have done Ranger Slayer, to be honest.
Yeah, if I would have realized that was one that would have counted, I definitely would have done Ranger Slayer. Although, even after the spell is broken, she's not particularly the greatest person. I don't want to spoil anything for the comics. I'll just keep reading them.
And yes. Tommy even went bad there for a bit, if you think about it, because, I mean, he wasn't bad until Rita brainwashed him.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, that was a good week. Good lists. Anyone y'all want to shout out?
I've been following some cosplayers on Instagram, and they've really been, you know, doing some really cool cosplays here recently, which has really been making me want to do some cosplays.
Yes.
Now that vaccines have come around and, you know, things can start coming back up and doing stuff, I really want to get back into doing some cosplay stuff. And so I just want to give them a shout out. Cassandra Cosplays and Old Fashioned Nerd, both of them do amazing stuff, and they both seem like really cool people.
Yes.
So And then, of course, we always want to mention Jordy Marie Games.
Mm-hmm.
She's, of course, does the Animal Crossing. She also just recently live streamed Resident Evil 8.
Yes.
Well, she did the whole playthrough of that. And I think she's also started doing some stuff on Twitch.
She has.
Recently. So definitely check her out, Jordy Marie Games.
Like it. Anyone you want to shout out, Shane?
You know, I'll give everyone a reminder. Mason Blevin, our friend, his book is still out there, 34 Degrees. Check it out wherever you can get books.
And as always, look for us on social media, at Total Nerd List. Our Instagram, I've been posting a lot on there lately. Like I said, it's been a lot of Pokemon stuff, but definitely trying to diversify that a bit more. And we would like to get some more followers on there, so please do us a huge favor. Even if you don't interact with us, just go and follow our page.
Tell your friends and your mom and your grandparents.
And anyone yes. who is on social media, we need those followers.
Yeah, help us grow. Help us make us a good podcast.
Help us get free stuff.
Yeah, free stuff. Give us free stuff.
We want free stuff.
No, I'm just kidding.
But good week, y'all.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
always fun.
Always fun.
Well, I'll see everyone later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.